You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and we are joined by repeat guest and one of my great friends, Tiffany Funk from 1 Mile at a Time. Tiff, it is so good to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been too long, and I know our listeners love having you on, so we'll hopefully be able to do this more frequently. Today's topic is one that, you know, gosh, I thought would come true a number of times over the past decade or so. It's now officially been announced that Alaska Airlines is going to join Oneworld, and we've got some new announcements in relation to American Airlines flying. But let's start with the Alaska Airlines piece, and I'm going to say, you know, circa 2010-2011, hardcore American Airlines flyer, like it just felt like this partnership made sense, and you kept thinking that either the two airlines would merge or Alaska would become part of Oneworld, and it just never happened. They had this sort of like okay-ish partnership but never great, and now it seems like not only are the two getting into bed together, but Alaska Airlines with all of their existing partners is now going to become a part of Oneworld.
Yeah, it is super interesting, especially because in that interval period, Alaska had a really strong partnership with Delta as well.
Yep.
And, you know, that was really lucrative, and it opened up some really fantastic opportunities with both programs. In ways, that relationship was even closer than the Alaska and American relationship. And then as Delta started expanding their presence in Seattle and the Pacific Inland Northwest in general, that became contentious. And, you know, squabbles over things like, you know, Delta wanting to have a better international terminal situation at Seattle and Alaska saying we're a domestic airline, we don't want to pay for that. And, you know, contention around the fees and the cost to operate at the airport, just really everything. So that fell apart. We saw all of their partnerships with other SkyTeam carriers, you know, Aeromexico and Air France and KLM have sort of fallen apart. And by necessity, I think Alaska and America have become closer, but then they were going to break up as, you know, in October, they announced that they were going to end their relationship entirely starting March. And now, surprise, they're going to be in an alliance together.
Which means that not only is the partnership not going away, but it's getting more useful for the folks that were using it before. And certainly there are things to talk about in terms of, you know, will there be a devaluation and will Alaska change their mileage currency?
Yes and yes.
But setting that stuff aside for a second, I think, you know, at the outset, I think the big thing for folks is there's an opportunity here for things like, elite recognition for Alaska Airlines flyers when they're flying on American, something that used to be around and is coming back. And then the ability to earn elite qualifying miles, which I think is big in both directions, because I think there's some folks who were really loyal to Alaska as an airline, but it was tough to get to the 75K that you needed for top tier status. And so the ability to do that now with American flights is certainly very beneficial to those folks who might be in one of the gateway cities for Alaska, like Seattle or Portland, to be able to use American for some of their travel and still have it count towards their elite status.
In theory, yes. In theory, that is all correct. And I know that is definitely the narrative that's being pushed. I have to represent, though, the people who live in Alaska cities, because I'm in Spokane. And
sure,
I'm an Alaska MVP Gold, and I'm also an American EXP, again, not really on purpose, but Hyatt felt like that was an important thing for me to try and do. And, you know, it's challenging to maintain any elite status with domestic flying these days. Like, it just is. With the revenue requirements, it just is. But Alaska status has been pretty easy to keep up with, you know, two international trips a year on British Airways or on Emirates, things like that. So expanding to Oneworld and saying, okay, you know, maybe that partnership with Emirates doesn't outlast that, you know, push into Oneworld, but now you can, you know, rack up those elite qualifying miles on Qatar. Okay, maybe that's a decent trade. But I think if you're excited about this for the domestic opportunities, it's probably not going to be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way I see it, and again, I certainly get your point, but I do know some folks who are Alaska travelers from a business standpoint, and they struggle with the schedule to some cities, especially when you get out to the East Coast.
Oh, for sure.
Where they just can't they just can't get there using Alaska Metal. And so they're forced to do something that doesn't contribute to their elite status goals because they have a contract in, you know, North Carolina or something like that. And they're just, you know, they're forced to fly there every, you know, handful of weeks. And they those connections and end up going fairly useless to them other than the redeemable miles. And so I do think there's a, you know, a good effect for business travelers in terms of being able to help them maintain or attain that status, as opposed to, from an American standpoint, I think the network effect is more limited in what they're getting. They're certainly getting more lift in the Northwest, but outside of that, Alaska isn't offering a ton more to American Airlines business travelers.
Oh, for sure. And I completely agree with you that on paper, it's sounds like there's great potential. There's going to be a good partnership. There should be interesting new benefits. But my suspicion is that it's going to be a little bit like during the time when US Airways and United were both in Star Alliance and both operating domestically, that elite recognition, and Star Alliance is much better about cross alliance recognition and has been for a while.
Yeah.
Even still, it was bumpy. You know, it's like, okay, well, I just don't think that the experience for Alaska flyers is going to be as good on American as what they're expecting or as what they've had with Alaska.
I think
operational reliability is poor. I don't really think that American's going to go out of their way to take care of partner elites in the inevitable IROP situations.
Yeah.
So like, yes, it's nice for like the few extra miles that you're going to get. Maybe you'll be getting some extra legroom seats, but I think it's going to be an uncomfortable partnership in ways, maybe actually literally, because there's so many advantage elites as it is. Like, it's, there's not really going to be reciprocal upgrades, you know, maybe some better seating, maybe some priority boarding, but how it works in practice, I definitely have questions about the airport ability to deliver.
Yeah, and I think 100% agree with you on the side of that they're likely to get much better treatment on an Alaska Air a domestic flight versus what they might get on American. And as folks who are listening and can tell, like, you know, Tiffany and I did not script our points ahead of time. We're having honest disagreements on the air, and I love it. I still would push back on, you know, for the Alaska traveler who used to have an American partnership and then for a while maybe had a Delta partnership and now has a Nothing Burger partnership when they need to fly to other places. You know, that does help them if they were putting those flights on, you know, Southwest or Delta or American. It literally wasn't contributing to their Alaska status. And
sure,
I think, you know, ultimately here, as you know, having low level status on American or United is pretty darn useless for, I think, both business travelers and leisure travelers. And so I do like that aspect of it. Certainly, I don't think that it's going to be hugely beneficial from an elite status recognition standpoint, but I do like the elite qualifying aspect that will come to play. Is not going to be in play tomorrow, but should be in play
2021 at least.
2021.
Mm-hmm. That's when it officially joins. Yeah. They officially join One World.
Yeah, and I will be interested to see if American and Alaska do anything between now and then to bridge things, because it's like, well, you're unwinding this other partnership. The One World thing is happening. You know, tech is not necessarily the forte right now for these sorts of things to happen quickly, but it would seem like there's some common sense stuff here about trying to make this not an 18-month to 24-month gap.
Yeah, it would. And that it would just, I think it will depend on, you know, what the level of integration is. At one point in time, Alaska was talking about joining One World in a similar way to Fiji Airways is, that One World Connect member, where they wouldn't have like all the same benefits, but they wouldn't be having to pay all the same fees. So it's interesting that Alaska feels that this is where it makes sense for them to expand competitively, that it's worth paying those fees to be in that alliance, even when they're not an international airline. I mean, yes, I realize they fly within North America and it's nominally international, but they are not a transoceanic airline. And that's, you know, generally when those hefty alliance fees make sense for a carrier. So that's interesting to me. It's just, I'm a little hesitant, and this is a theme for anybody who knows me. I like having a strong independent competitor, whether that's with an airline or whatever else. And I would prefer to see, you know, maybe Alaska and JetBlue having some code share partnership or something like that, saying like, hey, we're West Coast dominant, you're East Coast dominant. Let's, you know, let's figure something out there where we can compete against these really big carriers who are, you know, swallowing and really dominating the space. But it is what it is. See how it goes. I'm skeptical.
I don't disagree with you. I don't think for the most part that American and Alaska compete a whole lot, if not just solely because American hasn't been a big fan of competition and, you know, tends to back away from routes that other airlines are on. Let's transition to the two new routes that are announced as part of this, where American is going to be launching international service out of one of Alaska's bases, Seattle. And I think the two flights are very different in terms of what they offer to both Seattle residents, you know, Pacific Northwest residents, I'll say, because there are some easy, interesting connecting options. And then also just Alaska Airlines folks in particular. So you've got two flights, Seattle, Bangalore, India, which will launch later this year in October, and then Seattle Heathrow, which will launch next year. And at a high level, I think Seattle Bangalore is very much a point-to-point route in that it's not like American has a hub on the other end there with a one-world partner that's going to be able to extend people beyond Bangalore to lots of other cities. But on the flip side, you know, Alaska getting a Seattle Heathrow leg, and you know, all the folks in the Pacific Northwest getting that Seattle Heathrow leg, gives them access to not only the British Airways network in the one-world partnership, but it also gives them the ability to get to Heathrow and then use low-cost carriers to get where they want in Europe, which I definitely think is a plus.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go in reverse order. So the Seattle Heathrow thing, I don't think is necessarily as interesting for Alaska as it is for American. I think it's super interesting for American, and that's maybe something where they'll be leveraging Alaska's feed. Keep in mind, Alaska has had that really strong partnership with British Airways, with great earning on British Airways if you're flying Alaska. And so that's, you know, people have been doing that feed from these various different Alaska cities into Seattle and then on British Airways. So it'll be interesting to see, does American take over that route from British Airways and we lose the British Airways Seattle to London, which, you know, is maybe fine. Maybe even better. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it depends to some degree. Yeah, and you're right. The way I was thinking about this was this would be a third nonstop. And you're right. It's potential that it's not, because you've got Americans says they're going to serve it on a 777. I think that British is sort of mixed and matched on gauges for this flight. But in my head, I was thinking of it as there's a new 777's worth of capacity going back and forth between the two cities, which I viewed as a positive. But you're right. It could be end up being a net two flights and British Airways drops one.
Yeah, because British Airways has also expanded from other airports on the West Coast. You know, they have a flight out of Vancouver and out of Portland. And I can even see British Airways saying, you know, San Diego is an Alaska focused city. It has a very big population.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's go ahead and let American do the Seattle route, and we'll add another flight to, you know, San Diego or Phoenix or Las Vegas or one of those other cities that, you know, maybe could drive up more capacity. So that'll just be really interesting. But I think it's definitely, that's really interesting for me from American's perspective. Obviously, London is a market that airlines love to go after. And adding a West Coast flight makes sense. They don't have a lot of flights from the West Coast. It's pretty much just LA. It's pretty much been, you know, where American is focused for their international flights. So I think that's great. And I'm actually super excited about the Bangalore flight. I think that's awesome for American. They are, you know, going to be the only U.S. carrier serving Bangalore directly going to North America. Or the only carrier, because nobody else is going to go directly from Bangalore right to North America. So that's, I think, really interesting, especially as that develops into such a strong tech hub. And there's a lot of connections. Sure. So that, to me, makes a lot of sense. You know, American doesn't fly to India at all otherwise. And if you can get to Seattle and then you have the entire Alaska West Coast route network, you're talking one stop from Bangalore to anywhere in Northern or Southern California.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of tech companies that covers.
Like they'll have no problem selling, you know, the contracts on that flight, I'm sure will be phenomenal, because there's so many people going back and forth on those routes that now would probably have been on a Middle Eastern carrier you know, and doing something like, you know, Bangalore to Dubai to LA or, you know, to whatever, up to Seattle, still on Emirates or things like that.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see how that flight fills out. Cause as you mentioned, I would imagine there are a number of corporate contracts that could fill it. So I don't know where that'll put us on award capacity. It's, you know, it's a 7, 8, 9. So it's
Oh, I just assume that if it says America on the outside of the plane, that there is no award space. Honestly, the past 3 years, like, it's so unacceptable and embarrassing that it's like, I don't know. It's irrelevant. Yeah. Like, how's the board space going to be? I mean, it's an American flight. It's going to be bad.
Well, in fairness, I was helping someone book a ticket last night, and you know, we couldn't find them space to Auckland from Chicago with one connection. We were able to find them a flight that went through Omaha and then LA to Auckland, which is pretty much how everybody from Chicago wants to get to New Zealand nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one other point on the Heathrow thing that I think will be interesting to watch is, as you talk about whether they're, you know, going to drop routes in British Airways, moves of frequency. You know, there've been a bunch of rumors about my home airport where British Airways has multiple flights to Heathrow, and they've upgauged and downgauged over the years. And there was talk of, well, maybe, you know, maybe American would slap a 787-8 on that route, take one of those frequencies and operate it, and British Airways would move that, you know, somewhere else. And it never came to pass. So maybe it was situational to that opportunity, but it felt like they had the spare aircraft American did to cover that. So I'll be interested to see if that comes to pass here and British Airways moves a frequency, or if Seattle folks really do get 3 daily, you know, London Seattle flights.
For sure. For sure. And that's also part of just the brilliance of the diversity of the British Airways fleet. Like, I'm sure it's very expensive to maintain. But the fact they have such a variety of aircraft and they can try different routes and, you know, do more capacity here and less capacity there, you know, it's not something that carriers that have more standardized fleet can play with as much. So I think probably anything is on the table, to your point.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. No question they have planes that can, as you say, move to routes like San Diego and stuff like that without a problem in the fleet. Again, not knowing, you know, everything that's going every place. But I guess, you know, the more I think about it and talking to you, the more, you know, that's a possibility that we'll keep an eye out for. And, you know, certainly is a real possibility that that they don't end up with a third flight.
We'll see. It'll be fun.
It will be something to watch for us and something to watch for frequent travelers to see if we get any interim connections for folks between now and the onboarding in Oneworld. If American and Alaska find a way to be chummy friends over the next 18 months instead of distant cousins. So we'll have to wait and see for that. But I really appreciate you taking some time to come on, hop on the show with me. And I hope we'll have you back soon. But until we do, tell folks where they can find you on a daily basis.
Yeah, on onemileatatime.com, or I'm on Instagram at TEBFunk.
And she is a great Instagram follow. You take some really awesome pictures.
Of my dog. But thank you.
Well, it is a very cute dog. All right, Tiff, safe travels. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
That's a full wrap on this week's episode. You can find links to everything we discussed today in the show notes. A big thanks to all of you for tuning into this week's show. If any of you have questions or suggestions for a future show, you can drop me an email at ed@pizzainmotion.com or hit me up on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. And you can find me blogging daily at pizzainmotion.com. Until we upload again, we've got miles to go.